Oh, that's much better, much better. You should do that every week. You know, you just came from one of the busiest times of the year. Times where people said, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to make more cookies for more people than you ever make cookies for. You're going to get cards for everybody. You're going to go get presents for everybody. You're going to run so many errands, and it's going to be crazy traffic, and it's going to be busy, and it's going to be chaotic. And there's going to be more parties that you get invited to during this time of year, and there's going to be more volunteer opportunities, and there's going to be more church services than any other time of the year. And then we're going to let the kids out of school right in the middle of December. It's a busy time. Now, we've got some great things to celebrate. You know, Christmas Eve at Willow Creek, we saw a 69% increase in attendance for our Christmas Eve services this year. Almost 28,000 people coming out for Christmas Eve. Isn't that amazing? I love that. But we go right from this busy season into the New Year's time, where now everybody's going to come to church, and across the entire country, pastors are going to talk about New Year's resolutions. So you just went from a busy season doing all kinds of stuff, and now you're going to figure out, what can I add to my calendar? What can I do better at? What habits can I form? And so today I thought, we need a message at the beginning of the year about rest in a chaotic world. You know, one of the most important feast days in the Jewish calendar for thousands and thousands of years happened every week. It's called Sabbath, from the Hebrew word meaning to cease, because it was on the seventh day that God ceased from his work in creation. It says in Genesis, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. And so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Now my question is, why did God rest? I mean, was God up in heaven going, whew, I'm exhausted, I'm fatigued? Like, is he stretching? Is he like, I need some Gatorade, some electrolytes, like, I'm exhausted? No, not at all. He did it to model rest for us. Not only did he model rest for us, he commanded us to rest. In Exodus chapter 20, he said, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all that work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, and on it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servants, for all of you that have servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And if you're familiar with Exodus 20 at all, you know that's actually an excerpt from the Ten Commandments. God's top 10 commandments to his people, where he talks about lying and stealing and murder. He says, I want you to rest. That's how important it is to God. In fact, in Exodus 31, he outlines punishments or bad repercussions that are going to happen for people that do not observe the Sabbath. How good is it that we have a God, a Lord of the universe, our extreme boss, who looks at us and says, I care about you so much, I want to make sure that you get enough rest. I want to make sure that you walk through this life in a healthy way. Here's the question. Why does God take rest more seriously than I do? Why does God take rest more seriously than you do? What is it that's so important about rest? Rick Warren observes that when we're too busy, a couple things happen. One, I feel stress in a greater way. I feel stress in a greater way. King Solomon, hugely successful guy, was involved in all sorts of real estate, building projects, leading the kingdom. He had over 700 wives. that's like one or two anniversaries a day that he's got to worry about, right? He's a busy guy. And no doubt, he says in Song of Solomon 1:6, I had no time to care for myself. When you're too busy, stress comes on. The dishes pile up. The car only gets clean when it rains outside. The laundry piles up. Our tempers get a little shorter. We don't get enough sleep. You go study how important sleep is, and the fact that we're getting 2.5 hours less sleep than those decades before us. What does that do to our mental health, our dopamine, our serotonin? How important is it in our fitness that we make sure that we rest as well as exercise? I don't have to tell you that a busy life often results in more stress. Another thing what happens in a busy life is I lose my joy. Job said, my days go by faster than a runner. They fly away without my seeing any joy. When's the last time that you experienced pure joy in your life? When's the last time you went on a walk for no real reason at all? Bertrand Russell said, the time you enjoy wasting is not wasted time. Isn't that good? When's the last time you created something? Remember when we were little kids? They gave us Play-Doh to create with. They gave us Legos to create with. They gave us all kinds of... When's the last time you created something, a poem? You wrote something. When's the last time you just enjoyed creating? When's the last time you picked up a guitar or picked up the piano? Or if the instrument you play is the radio, when's the last time you turned up the radio and just got your hairbrush and jumped up on your bed and just sang like nobody was looking? When's the last time you experienced real joy? You know, when you're busy, you're less productive. You think the faster you go, the harder you work, the more days that you work, the more productive you're going to be. Psalms 19:2 says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes. Have you experienced that? After 4, 5, 6 days of work, 7 days of work, doing that week after week after week after week, how productive are you really? You know, in the French Revolution, the government said to the people, we're gonna outlaw taking a Sabbath. We are gonna outlaw a day off. Everyone has to work 7 days a week because we wanna be as productive as possible. It didn't take long before they realized everybody was getting sick, people were making mistakes, they were less productive, and so they reinstated a day off for all the workers. We get stressed, we have less joy, we have less productivity, and I think it's hard to hear from God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. If you look at Jesus was a fairly busy guy. Everybody wanted something from him. He was on his way to teach. People would constantly pull at him and say, come heal, come teach over here, come deal with these Pharisees, come deal with them. You know, people were always gathering around him, wanting something from him. And yet the pattern that you see in Jesus' life again and again and again is when there were big, important things to do, Jesus would always sort of steal away and spend time resting and being still in prayer with God. Think about the night before he was arrested. What did he do? He went away to pray. The night before he had a big decision to make, to draft the apostles, to choose the apostles, what did he do? Verse 12 here, it says, one of those days Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came, he called his disciples to him. And that's when he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. So when I'm busy, I'm too busy, I'm stressed out, I lose my joy, I'm less productive. And it's harder for me to really discern God's voice in my life. And so this commandment from God that he models for us and then commands us to do, this idea of a Sabbath or taking a day to rest or taking a day to honor God, it really is a gift from him to us for our benefit. And over the course of years and years and years, what I see is basically sort of two extremes on how folks have reacted to this idea of a Sabbath or a day off. The first is that people will become kind of legalistic about it. They'll take it really seriously in regards to, we gotta make this happen. It's without exception. We've gotta do everything we can. And I don't know where it goes bad. I imagine at some point it gets bad because Jesus would argue with the Pharisees who would say, don't you heal somebody on the Sabbath? And Jesus is like, what? Of course I'm gonna heal somebody on the Sabbath. So at some point that extremism goes wrong. I don't know where it goes wrong. I just know that I've seen examples of this sort of extreme observance of a Sabbath. I remember like my grandpa, he would not mow the grass on Sunday. Now I know other people that love to mow the grass on Sunday because it's one of the ways that they connect with God. It doesn't feel like work to them. But for him, he was like, I will not work. That is work. I will not work. I will not do that on Sunday. If you were here for our Christmas series, you know, Sean and I traveled to Israel. One of the things that we got to observe was a Shabbat, a Sabbath. And one of the very interesting things for me was I walked into an elevator on Sabbath and I went to push the button and they didn't work because the elevator was in Sabbath mode. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Sabbath mode? And sure enough, the elevator just goes up and down, floor by floor by floor, then back down, floor by floor by floor, and you just get on, you ride it up, terribly inefficient. But they determined that pushing a button was work. And therefore, we would not work on the Sabbath. Again, I'm not critiquing it, I'm just saying, there's this extreme over here. And then there's this extreme over here. And I bet this is the extreme that a lot of us tend toward. And that is the extreme where we almost take our 7-day work week and wear it as a badge of honor. We walk in to work or we talk with our boss or we talk to people. Hey, how you doing? I'm busy, so busy. How you doing? Oh man, I'm working so hard. I mean, the business is just booming right now. I'm working every day just to keep up. And it's almost like it's a badge of honor that we work so hard. Or maybe it's not work. Maybe it's this is what I see in families is that we're so busy. It's sort of a badge of honor. Like, hey, how was church last weekend? Well, you know, our kids are in travel sports. Travel sports. You know, it's this sort of like, you know, on the other extreme where it's like, hey, church is kind of like give it or, you know, take it or leave it, honoring God, a day of rest, all take it or leave it. If I've got something more important to do, something more fun to do, something that I want to do, well, then that's what I'm going to do because the Sabbath is really about doing what I want. I have 6 days where I have to do what my boss wants me to do, and then I have a day where I get to do what I want. That's what God was talking about. That's not what it says. It says a Sabbath unto the Lord. So I don't know that extreme is right either. Well, then what's right? And I'm here to tell you, I don't know. But I got some ideas. And I'll just share these with you in the next 12, 13 minutes. And then you can kind of decide with me, like, where should we go in practicing the Sabbath and the way that honors God and benefits us the way that he intended that gift to do. The first thing I'd share with us is this, is I think an action step might be to check your motive. Check your motive. What is it that drives me to constantly be pushing for more work, more achievement, more money, more status? What is it that's doing that? Ecclesiastes 4:6 says, it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. Do you believe that? What is it that drives us? You see, ambition can be a good thing, but it can also be an unhealthy thing as well. Ted Turner, I think it was 1980, started CNN, started TBS, Superstation. He's a bazillionaire. And one time, Ted Turner, very successful guy, he would go on the train with his father as a kid, and his father was always reading Success Magazine and Forbes Magazine and all these different magazines, and really kind of pushing some pressure on Ted. One time, Ted, in a speech at Georgetown University, is talking to the students, and his face is actually on the cover of Success Magazine, and he's got it here as sort of an illustration that he's going to use, but he stops in the middle of his speech, this big booming Ted Turner voice, and his voice turns to a whisper when he sort of realizes something, and he holds it up, the magazine, and he says, "Is this enough for you, Dad? Is this enough?" I don't know that whole story. I just know that ambition, that drive to always achieve more, it can be a healthy thing. It can be an unhealthy thing. It can come from a lot of different motives, this motive of guilt or fear or revenge or ego or pride or resentment or just trying to prove yourself to yourself or to someone else. I would encourage us to think about it differently. To think about your work differently, that your relationship with work would be a little different. And here's what I would tell you. In the New Testament, the Jewish people who decided to follow Jesus and start the first church, they shifted this Lord's Day from the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, to the first day of the week. So now instead of my grandpa not cutting the grass on Saturday, he would not cut the grass on Sunday. And what I think is interesting about that, now I know historically that, I mean, I think the reason for that was they were still Jews and they were observing Sabbath. They were still going to temple on Saturday, and Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And so they would gather to honor Jesus in the Lord's Day on the day that he rose from the dead. I think that's kind of historically why that happened. But as I reflect on that shift, this idea that rather than working 6 days and then it end with rest, that my week begins with rest and I work out of that rest, changes things for me. It changes my perspective on work. So now, instead of constantly trying to work to feed some ambition that's in my heart, this hole, this void that's constantly there, and then by the end of the 6 days, if I let myself, I just stumble into my bed and just I'm exhausted for a day. Instead, I take the first day of the week and I realized I am loved. I am enough. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish and have everlasting life. He has called me forgiven. He has called me approved. He has called me beloved. He has called me in Christ. He has called me all of these things. And so as I focus on that the first day of the week, it sets my heart and my mind up to then walk into Monday and say, you know what, now I'm ready to work. Not to earn status, but because of my status. And I don't know if that's a big shift or if it'll mean a lot to you, but to me, it's really been helping me put my work in perspective. So check your motive is the first thing. Second thing I would share with you is learn to say, no thanks. This is an entire time management, maybe even a mental health seminar in two words. No thanks. In fact, why don't we practice on three? Just no thanks on three. Ready? One, two, three. No thanks. Yeah. It's not hard until people start asking you for things. It's when they say, hey, can you take on another shift at work because we got this new project? We might say, no thanks. No, I'm good. Hey, can you coach the little league team? No one else is stepping up. We really need somebody. And you might say, no, I'm good. No, thanks. Somebody may say, hey, we've got another Christmas party opened up. And, you know, this department did one, and this department did one, and this department did one. But since you stepped foot in this department one time, we're going to need you to show up at this Christmas party. Is that okay with you? And you're going to say, no, thanks, I'm good. Some pastor is going to say, hey, it's new year, new you, baby. So we're going to need you to go to the gym, get into a Bible study, get on a team, get in a small group, get baptized, start giving money, show up at church every weekend, pray, get all these New Year's resolutions, come on. And you're going to look at a pastor and you're going to say, no thanks. Obviously, you know, it's a rose, a few roses. And it's at this time of the year that I always reflect on the rose, because it's at this time of the year that I always feel that draw to add all of these habits and new things that I need to do to get better and better and better. But it's also about this time of year, it's in a couple of months, but in a couple of months, the rose farmer, the gardener knows that the way to get the most out of a rose bush is you prune the rose bush. At the beginning of the season, what they'll do is they'll come in and they'll cut off all the old dead branches. And then they'll actually, in addition to cutting off all the old dead branches, they'll actually go in and there'll be some branches, some shoots, some actually fly, like, you know, shoots that have buds on them, like things that are going to become roses. And they'll actually cut those off because they're a little bit weaker and they're taking resources from the rest of the really healthy plant. And so they'll prune some of those things in order that, get this, the rose becomes everything it was created to be. You know where I'm going with this? Because the same God that created the rose bush and that whole process created you. It very well could be that instead of thinking of all the things you need to start doing this year, maybe this is a time for you to say, man, this is my don't-do list. Here are the few things that I need to prune from my life. Because just because I can buy it doesn't mean I should. And just because I can get it into my schedule doesn't mean that I should. Just because I can say yes doesn't mean that I should say yes. It could be that there are some some good things. But are they the best things? And so my prayer for us is Ephesians 1:18, where Paul tells the Ephesians church, he says, I ask God to make your eyes focused and clear so you can see exactly what it is God is calling you to do. I will tell you this, you have exactly enough hours in the day to do everything God is calling you to do and still be a healthy human being. So that if you have a schedule that is burning you out, if you have a schedule that has too much on it, you know that there's at least some things in there that God's not asking you to do. And so our prayer is, God, give us those eyes focused and clear so that we can see exactly what it is that you're calling us to do. So I'm going to check my motives. I'm going to have my work in the right perspective. I'm not going to try and earn love, earn status, earn security. I'm not doing that. I'm going to rest in God and then work out of that. I'm going to learn to say, hey, no thanks. No thanks. And then number three, practice the rooted rhythm of Sabbath. Practice the rooted rhythm of Sabbath. It's an interesting tidbit, we'll say, or motive, or why, that we learn in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 5. When God is talking about the Sabbath, he says this, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Is that not blowing your mind? That's blowing my mind, because what he's saying there is this. It's not just about taking a day off so your serotonin level can go up or whatever it does. This is a spiritual act of trusting God, because the people of Israel, they used to be slaves. They used to get up every day and somebody would tell them when to eat and when to go to the bathroom and when to work and where to go there. And they didn't have days off. They just did it and did it and did it, whatever they were. And God brought them out of there with 10 plagues and parting seas and pillars of fire and smoke. And God brought them out of there. It was God saying, I want you to observe the Sabbath because I want you to always remember that I'm the reason. You don't trust in your skill. You don't trust in your effort. You don't trust in your achievement. You don't trust in your resources. You trust in me. And you take a Sabbath day, not just because you need a day off or it'd be fun to go for a walk. You take a day off to honor God and remember that he is the source of your security. He is the source of your provision. He is the source. He's the one that's running the universe, and he don't need you to do it. You can take a day off and trust that God can run the universe just fine without you. And so we practice this idea of not just taking a day where we don't go into the office, but literally, and you're going to think this is self-serving somehow, but I promise you it's not. This is why I think we gather together for worship on Sunday. This is part of the reason that it says in the New Testament that they gathered together, because it's not just about taking a day off. It's about gathering and honoring God. It says the Sabbath, practice this, remember the Sabbath unto the Lord. Honor God with the Sabbath. And so I would encourage you, maybe, I don't know where the extremes are. I don't know. But I know that church attendance, for those that go to church in the United States, is now 1 out of every 6 weeks. And I can't judge that because I don't know where. I just know that for me, that would never be enough to keep my mind and my heart where it needs to be. It would never be enough for me, after all God has done for me, to not come into with my brothers and sisters and offer God gratitude and praise. I would never be able to keep my perspective on work or my effort or what I'm supposed to put my trust in without coming and gathering together and being reminded of the miracles in his word and his faithfulness in his word and gathering with the people of God and singing praises and remembering just how big God is. I need that for me more than once every 6 weeks. And so I would share with you, maybe if you're perspective on Sabbath and what it's really about changes a bit, that maybe one of your next steps this year is just to come to church more often. And I say that, please, you know, with as much sort of grace as possible. I don't think we need to be legalistic about it. But I know that, like with travel sports or golf or, you know, whatever it is, sometimes it's so easy to just go do that rather than come to church. And I'll say this, when you come, what if we came not just to receive or to consume, but we made this year's Sabbath practice about coming ready to honor God? In other words, I'm not coming in going, who's speaking today? And after church, like, how was it? How was church? Like, you get to, like, evaluate the performance. But we come in, like, what? How would that change the way you prepare in the mornings? I know for me, when I had three little kids, getting them into the minivan, like, slamming cereal down. You know, I'm slamming the door shut in the name of Jesus, we're going to church, you know? I remember that. How does it change the way you show up to church? How does it change when you show up to church? When you roll in, how does it change your attitude when you sit down and you prepare your heart and mind for what you get to do? Not what you get to evaluate, but what you get to do to honor God with your brothers and sisters. Just by way of closing us out, I gave you a sticker when you came in. Looks like this. Looks like this. And online, if you're online with us, you can go to willowcreek.org/sticker. And I thought this would be just a good way to end, is just to sort of prayerfully bow your head. You don't need to close your eyes. You can just kind of look at your sticker and say, you know, what is it that's keeping me from resting? Is there some area where I don't trust God enough, or maybe I just haven't focused enough on God's goodness to me, or there's still some areas where I've got huge questions or whatever it is? And I just want to give you just a few moments to think about how you would fill this out. I can rest because God can. And just prayerfully, I can rest because God is in control. Maybe that's how you'd fill it out. I can rest because God can provide. I can rest because God's voice in my life is more authoritative and true than the voices of my past. I can rest because God has given me enough. I can rest because God is my priority. I can rest because God has forgiven me. I can rest because God can protect my family. Thank you, Jesus, for winning us the ability to rest in you.